Eddie.
Donna, thank you for
hey,
being so...
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being so punctual. Good to talk to you.
I try.
So we're excited to have you coming back to Atlantic City at the Trump Taj Mahal on Saturday, September 4th.
Uh-huh.
How much performing do you do these days?
A reasonable amount. I mean, this year I'm taking what I call the low road. I'm not, the last couple of years we've been doing extensive touring all around. And this year I've decided to tour less. And, you know, sort of prepare some other projects that have been pending, you know, getting ready for new albums, a couple of different albums, and, you know, working on my musical and, you know, just whatever the projects are that are out there to do. And so, you know, you're only one person.
Sure.
You can't do
no,
it all
right. Of course. And it's such a big production putting on a tour, especially the type that you do. Tell me about your musical.
Well, the musical's been in production. It's been in the process since the year of 9/11. And actually, we were supposed to begin to go to Broadway that year, and then 9/11 happened, and everything kind of fell apart because New York fell apart. And so, after that, it was about a 2-year period where everything was sort of dormant. And then we started working on it again, and then I got busy, and everybody else sort of got busy, and it didn't happen again, and so it's been sleeping. So that about a year or so ago, we started working on it again, and you know, this time we're kind of following through the process. And you know, it's really a time consuming thing, and it takes a lot of effort from a lot of people.
And this is something that you have written the actual play for, and the musical numbers as well.
Well, yes.
Wow.
What it is I did write the music with a friend of mine, Al Kasher, who's wrote the song The Morning After. He's got 2 Oscar awards, and also Michael Lamardian and my husband Bruce Sedano. We all worked on this project together, and I did a lot of the lyrical writing.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just it was a very
we'll keep an eye out
fun
for it.
Project, huh?
It sounds like it. We'll keep an eye out for it when it finally
Thank
arrives.
You.
Donna
Thank
Summer
you.
Here on the Light Rock Morning Show. Can you estimate the number of times you've played in Atlantic City over the years? 10,
oh, God,
20,
no.
50, quite a few, isn't it?
Oh, no, yeah. Back in the day, I used to do 2 weeks at a time. You know, we used to go in for 2 weeks and do, you know, I don't know how many shows in 2 weeks. Like
a short residency, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, and we would go in pretty regularly for 2 weeks at a time. Back in the day when people used to play 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Now they play mostly a day, 2 days, 3 days, you know. But back in those days, you know, you went in sometimes even for a month.
And do you have favorite recollections of those times or of the city?
Well, Atlantic City was extremely different back then. I mean, I think the Resorts International was the biggest hotel there at that time when I started back. And then, you know, Caesars and then the Taj Mahal. And, you know, I think I might have even, is it the Taj Mahal? I think I might have even opened the Taj Mahal there.
Quite possibly.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, quite
I think
possibly.
I did.
And Resorts being the first, you may have played
yeah.
there when it was the only, really.
Yes, definitely played it when it was the only.
Donna Summer, the queen of disco. Let me ask you about that label and how you feel about it. It's great to be the first person thought of with any musical genre or form, I guess. But I've heard that at one point early on, you actually wanted to be a rock singer. Anything to that? Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, I think that when I grew up in a neighborhood where rock and roll was really pretty much king, even though everybody that listened to music still listened to the Temptations and Aretha, and I mean everybody, that was all part of rock and roll in my day. It wasn't so separate as it is now, and you know, and so you know, it was just what my voice lent itself to. I felt like, you know, I could really sing that type of music really well, and I was drawn to it because it was kind of aggressive and a lot more aggressive than, you know, R&B music at that point. R&B music at that time was more in, you know, a little bit more romantic and into that, you know, kind of vibe. And rock and roll was kind of like, you know, beating your chest and get out of here, you know.
So, but when you became really the focal point of disco for a while, did there come a point when you began to think, well, I don't want to get pigeonholed with this, or were you always happy with that distinction?
Well, it wasn't, you know, it's something that kind of evolved. because when I first started, actually, when I recorded those songs, I was doing musicals in Germany, and I was in musical theater. So I was coming out of a whole other genre. I had sung in church, and I had sung in choruses in all over Boston, classical, semi-classical music. So, you know, I really had a diverse background in music, and I don't really separate music that much. To me, it's all music, so I just sing whatever I sing. But, I mean, people do the separation, so for me, it's kind of...
Yeah,
I don't,
you understand what I'm referring to, because back in the time when disco was very popular, there was kind of like the disco camp and then the anti-disco.
Rock and roll camp.
Yeah, right, exactly. So
on that camp?
Well, I must say that I like your music much more now than I did then.
Let's put it like this. You know, I'm the first woman to win a Grammy for rock and roll. So that... should tell you something. So, you know, that can make yourself feel a little bit better about it now.
Yeah, absolutely. Donna Summer is here with me on Light Rock, and you can't argue with numbers like 130 million records sold and 4 number one songs in just over a year, about 13 months. Let's talk about a few of those. Which do you think hold up the best? Do you have an opinion on which of your hits from that era still get the biggest recognition from the crowds and you still really...
You know, it varies a lot, because I think, you know, Bad Girls still gets a lot. Hot Stuff gets picked up in movies a lot. Hot for the Money. I go on the street, people scream Hot for the Money at me all the time. I mean, they work hard and they're glad that song exists.
Right, it's become
And The Last Dance is also. And Love the Baby When I Feel Love. Let's Love You Baby and I Feel Love. Honestly, they all still get quite a lot of recognition. And it's really an honor.
With She Works Hard for the Money, you had some hand in writing that, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I wrote the song, and with Michael Amati, and he wrote the music.
Was your intention to write an anthem for females in the workforce?
Was.
Yeah,
it was definitely. Mm-hmm.
And was there a particular person in mind? The image that sticks with me is the video of the waitress. Was it a waitress, or was that just something that was concocted for the video?
No. Actually, the lady was she wasn't a waitress. We used it as a waitress, but actually, the woman was a bathroom attendant.
Oh, right. And, yes.
But that was just her extra money job, because she was putting her son through college. She was a laboratory technician, a very well educated woman, and I just happened to catch her off guard in the bathroom. She was, you know, servicing the bathroom, and she sat down and fell asleep. And I happened to walk in at exactly that moment, and I saw the scene, and I decided I was going to write the scene. And that's how Hard for the Money came about.
Donna Summer, with the song Dim All the Lights, you have something of a record, I understand, here for the longest sustained note in a pop song at 16 seconds. Were you aware that you held that record?
Absolutely not. I didn't even know there was one.
There's records for everything, Donna. So add that to your resume. 16
Thanks.
Seconds. For a longest sustained note by a female. When you wrote this song, Dim All the Lights, it was originally written for Rod Stewart, or you had him in mind?
Yeah, well, I actually wrote the song for Rod Stewart. And I was supposed to give it to him at this, we were singing together at this program in Washington. No, excuse me, it was in New York at the UNICEF. And I had the CD back in those days, the little tape in my pocket to give him, and I just chickened out. I couldn't make myself peddle a song to another, you know, person in the industry, and so I wound up going home with it, and I was extremely disappointed, because I think he would have sang the pants off the song, and I wound up recording the song myself, which is, I'm glad I did, because it was a good,
absolutely wise choice in the in retrospect. And one more, tell me about Last Dance. You talked about winning an award. You won an Academy Award for the song Last Dance, and a Golden Globe as well, because it came out of the movie. Thank God it's Friday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, any recollections of the performance of that one?
Oh, sure. I mean, Paul Jabara, who's now deceased, flew down. I was in Puerto Rico getting ready to perform, and he called me and he said, "I'm coming in. I want to play you the song I wrote for you, and I want you to listen to it." Well, he came to my hotel suite, locked me in the bathroom, played the song about I don't know how numerous times, and I finally coerced him into opening the door and letting me out, and because I had to get ready to go on stage. And he then flew to L.A. and started preparing the demo track. And then I came in a couple of days later. We recorded Last Dance. I drove Mulholland Drive, which I don't know if you've ever been to L.A., but Mulholland is a street that's up in the hills, and it just wraps all around through the whole city. And I drove up and down, back and forth, playing Last Dance at peak volume in the middle of the night. and then at like 5 o'clock in the morning, I drove to Paul's house, turned it on loud, jumped out of the car. He came out in his pajamas, and we started dancing. And so that song has a particularly strong memory for me.
You knew you had something at that point.
Yeah, I knew it was a hit.
Do you pay any attention to the cream of today's stars, the female stars of today? Any thoughts on Lady Gaga, Leona Lewis, Pink, or anyone else who's making popular music these days?
I love Lady Gaga's costumes, and I think that she takes everything to another level, and she picks up the ante, because I think during the last 10 years, people kind of got into, people who are performing, kind of playing it down. And I think what has happened is it has gone now the other way, which is more like kind of when I was coming up, it was important to be extravagant. People wanted to see that extravagance. They wanted to see you do something that they couldn't do.
Right. They wanted to really see a show, a performance along
a
with
a show,
music.
And they want to see you go someplace they could never go and make them dream. And I think that in terms of, I don't know everything that Lady Gaga does, but I've seen a few of her costumes, and I love the whimsicalness and the craziness of some of them. It's just like watching a show. I mean, a real theatrical piece, and I think she's probably the best at it at this point. And, there's a lot of different styles out there, Beyonce, who's wonderful, Rihanna, there's just a ton of people. I love Leona Lewis's voice. She's great.
Yeah, a lot of talent. Well, we look forward to hearing your great voice in Atlantic City at the
you.
Taj Mahal on Saturday, September 4th. And thanks for sharing some time with me.
You too. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Donna. Take care now.